If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, Psalm 119. Again, we are working on verses 81 through 88. Psalm 119, verses 81 through 88. We will read all eight of these verses together. After next Sunday night, we will be halfway through. Isn't that exciting? Yes. And you say, but you've been doing this since December. I know. Isn't it great? It's wonderful. Here we are. Reading together in Psalm 119, beginning in verse 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness. So shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. So I told you before that David kind of changed his tone and had a little bit more of an inward type feel to this section of verses. If kind of just in review, if you'll go back and look at verse 81, he said, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. He kind of let us kind of see into the frailty of his human side. That there was maybe sometimes some discouragement, and sometimes some hardening in his life, and sometimes where the things of this world and the day-to-day temptations and difficulties and just life kind of got to him. And you know what? All that means is he's human. And all that means is that you're human. And guess what? That's okay. Right? Because that's what we are. We are but dust. We are human. We are frail. We can be discouraged from time to time. But did you notice his rebuttal to those things where we're hoping in God's word and knowing that God would comfort. He just wanted to know when that comfort would come. And then also that he did and would remember the statutes of God. So to no surprise, David doesn't just go on this little rant or this little path of humanness, if you will. He continues in tonight's verses that we're going to look at. If you look at verse 84, he asks a question of God. He says, how many are the days of thy servant? He's like, God, how many days do I got? How much time do I have to live this life? What a question. Does not God know the number of our days? The Bible tells us that we have bounds of our habitation. And God already knows them. He knows the number of the hairs on your head, or lack thereof. I don't know if he counts all the ones that I lose from time to time. I'm not sure. But you know, no, he does. He knows those things. He knows, and he knew when you were going to be born. And may I say to all of you, he already knows when you're going to die. It's not a mystery to God. God knows all things. And God knows the time. We do not. Okay? Wouldn't it be kind of odd to know what day you were going to die on? Think about that. You say, well, I'd like to know. I don't think I do. Right? Because that'd be kind of nerve-wracking, wouldn't it? Yeah. You say, well, it's nerve-wracking not knowing. Well, I don't know. It doesn't bother me too much. You just go on with life, right? Knowing when you're going to die would be kind of difficult. And actually, it might be more of a trouble than it's worth. But he says, how many are the days of thy servant? So why is David asking this question? Why does he want to know the bounds of his habitation? Or why does he want to remind God of it? Or ask these questions of God? He says, how many are the days of thy servant? And so he continues in this verse to kind of give a reason for the question that he asked with another question. He says, how many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? Now, he's not asking if the execution of the judgment will come, because David knows that God is just, that he's a righteous judge. But here's what David wants to see. David wants to see the wicked executed for their judgment during his lifetime. That's kind of what I think about this when I think about this verse. He's like, hey, how long are my days, God? Because I really would like to see these people punished for what they're doing to me. Is that what you get out of this? That's what I get out of this. He's kind of saying, hey, God, I know that sometimes we don't get to see the fruition of things in our life, but boy, I'd sure like to see those that are persecuting me be judged. I'd find a little bit of satisfaction in that because they've really been a bug to me. They've really hurt me. They've really put me down, and I'd like to see them get their just dues. Does anybody see any other thing in this verse than that? That's kind of what I see. That's kind of what I notice. And listen, I think David sometimes, like we get tired of seeing these wrongdoings done and nothing happening about it. And we kind of get fed up with it. We're like, God, when are you going to do something about this? And we've talked about this subject a little bit before, and we're going to go and look at a few Psalms here of David's feelings. And these are normal human feelings that David had and that we often have. But can I tell you something? Just like David, we need to make sure we temper these feelings with the truth that God's word is. And that God is true to his word. He will execute judgment. And sure, in our flesh, we'd like to see a resolution to these things, but you may not. And that's okay. Because God is God, and he is just. He is righteous. He is a righteous judge. Turn over to Psalm chapter 13. We've looked at this psalm a few times in these studies. Psalm chapter 13. And I want you to notice verses 1 through 6. This is all of Psalm 13. David says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Sometimes it seems that the prolonging of action or proceeding and putting off a deferment of God's judgment will get the Christian down in their spirit. We cannot let ourselves be discouraged. We need to trust in the Lord. We need to trust in his mercy and rejoice in his salvation and sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with us. We need to get our eyes off of those that have wronged us and get our eyes onto God who deals bountifully with us. You know, don't be discouraged. Don't be cast down. We talked about that last time. Don't our soul and faint for these things, because God is a just God. Delayed judgment is just part of life. It's part of how God deals with people. Hey, listen, don't be too critical. There have been times in your life that God has delayed his judgment upon you. And weren't you glad for it? Yeah. You know, sometimes God may delay judgment for a purpose. What purpose? Well, his purpose. Maybe he's using that time to help a person get right with God. Or perhaps even come to God. And listen, if let's say the punishment for something is death. If it's immediate, where's the opportunity for that person to be saved? Maybe God is delaying judgment for that purpose. How do we know why God is long-suffering? We don't. But we do trust and know that it's his purpose. Turn to Psalm 35, just a few pages. Psalm 35, beginning in verse 18. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good, to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily, as one that mourneth for his mother. But in mine adversity they rejoiced, and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me, and ceased not. With hypocritical mockers and feasts, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. You know, David said, hey, I when they were sick, I prayed for these people. I was concerned about them. And when I was afflicted, they laughed and mocked, and it was horrible. Sometimes those things are going to take place in our lives. And we may ask God, how many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? Turn over to Psalm 94. Psalm 94. I hope you're getting an idea of what David is thinking about here. You may not understand how much David went through in his life. He was the king. He was kind of the all eyes are on me kind of character. Because he was in an exalted place. So there was much attention drawn to him. And much of it was negative. There were people that did not like David. How he led, how he ruled the kingdom, the things that he did, the things that he said. He was much maligned in many circumstances. In Psalm 94, in verses 1 through 14, the Bible says, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth? O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked? How long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things? And all the workers of iniquity boast themselves. They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall he not he correct? And that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. You see, many times we ask, how long? God, are we going to see your judgment executed on these that persecute us? Now, I know that in our day and time, we may not receive much persecution. But David did. The early church did. The apostles did. There was much to have been received by way of persecution. And it was something that was kind of heavy to weigh on a soul, on our lives. We kind of have it easy, don't we? And this may not be something that we ask God. We don't stay up and say, God, how long am I going to live? And am I going to live to see these people judged? But David did. And you might have times like that in your life. How are you going to deal with it? We see from these Psalms that David dealt pretty well with it. He did have times of discouragement. But over and over again, we see that he trusted God to deal righteously in each circumstance. Do you? Do you trust God to deal righteously in these circumstances? In Habakkuk, Habakkuk asked God, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that rise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. God answered Habakkuk and said, hey, don't worry, Habakkuk, I'll take care of it. We need to trust him. And God is righteous. He is going to care for these things in his time. In his time. And that's not for you nor I to decide. And if it's in and within the time of your life, fine. But if not, fine. In Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5, it says, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man in his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. And don't forget, in James it says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Don't forget that to God, our life is like, and to him, to deal with something within our lifetime is like, but to us, it's 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years, whatever. It's a big deal to us. Because to us, life seems so long. But look at it from God's perspective. He judges according to his time, not according to ours. So back to Psalm 119, he says, how many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? Let's look at verse 85. The proud have digged pits. You know, it seems like the proud like to do that. I don't know if they're construction workers or whatever they are, but they like to dig things. You understand that digging is, of course, excavating, forming an opening in the earth by digging. And a pit is something that is done to, more primarily in this particular case, to be sort of a snare or a way to capture one. All right? Trying to capture intent here by the proud. The proud We've already talked about these folks. They've digged a pit for me, which are not after thy law. Can I tell you something? Criminals don't play by the rules. The evil do not play by the rules. That's why when it comes to things like gun control, I get upset. Because the law-abiding people are going to follow the rules. Criminals aren't. So if you make a law about guns and things, you think they're going to say, oh, I'm sorry, let me give you this gun. I shouldn't have this. No! No, that's not how it works. They don't follow the rules. They don't follow the laws. These proud, they've dug pits for David. And they've done it against his law, the law of God. They're not going to follow the rules. They're going to do this because they do not care about what God says, about what God thinks, about how God says to be kind to people and be generous to people and love people. And these proud, these wicked people do not care about that. They want to ensnare us and to make us fall into a pit. You know, there was a man in the Bible that was a good man. His name was Joseph. And he loved God. And he loved his father. And his brothers were wicked. For all intents and purposes, they were just boogers. Okay? They were boogers. They were disrespectful to their father. They would do things and lie and cheat and steal and kill and all these things. They were horrible. And Joseph was just honest. He was just true. He was just justified. He wasn't a tattletale per se, but when wrong was done, he just reported it to his dad. There's nothing wrong with that. He was truly grieved by what things that they did. You remember that at one particular point, he went out looking for them, and they were supposed to be in one place, and they weren't there, and so they went to another place. And these brothers, they got fed up with it. And what did they do when he caught up with them? They threw him in a pit. Yeah, they did. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat, and his coat of many colors was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And you know the rest of the story. These band of merchants came by. And slave traders, if you will, and they pulled him up out of the pit, and they sold him, and they got a little party money to continue on with their evil ways. We know how the rest of the story works out. You know, but they didn't follow after the law of God. And they dug a pit for a snare. They perhaps didn't dig the pit, but they threw their brother in it because it was there. But you understand that these proud, these evil people want to try to trap us. And they're not going to play by the rules. They're not going to follow the law of God. Back to Psalm 35, we read verses 11 to 18 about these false witnesses and how long are we going to have to wait for the judgment of God. But in verses 7 through 9, he says, "For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation." In Psalm 140, verses 1 through 5, David said, "Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in their heart. Continually they are gathered together for war. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. Selah. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man, who have purposed to overthrow my goings. The proud have hid a snare for me, and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside, and have set gins for me. Selah." Jinns are just traps or snares. They're trying to catch us. They're trying to capture us and to keep us keep us from serving God. You know, God doesn't want they don't want people to serve God. The devil doesn't want people to serve God. They're going to try to trap you and snare you. And it's not going to be by the rules. It's not going to be after the law of God. They followed their own law. They followed their own rules. And they're not the ways of God. In Psalm 141, the Bible says, "Keep me from the snares which they have laid for me, and the gins of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, whilst that I withal escape." Remember Jeremiah? He had the task of being the most hated preacher ever. And at one particular time, the people of Israel caught him, and they threw him into a pit in the middle of the city. And it was a deep pit. It was full of mud. And he's kind of sunk down in that pit. And this was not nice. He was the man of God. He was saying, "Thus saith the Lord." He was trying to help these people repent and turn back to God. And boy, did they mistreat him. Listen to what he says in chapter 18, verses 18 to 23. "Then said they, Come, and let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words." Boy, how'd you like to be the preacher there? Yikes. "Give heed to me, O Lord, and hearken to the voice of them that contend with me. Shall evil be recompensed for good? For they have digged a pit for my soul. Remember that I stood before thee to speak good for them, and to turn away thy wrath from them. Therefore, deliver up their children to the famine, and pour out their blood by the force of the sword. Let their wives be bereaved of their children, and be widows. And let their men be put to death. Let their young men be slain by the sword in battle. Let a cry be heard from their houses when thou shalt bring a troop suddenly upon them. For they have digged a pit to take me, and hid snares for my feet. Yet, Lord, thou knowest all their counsel against me to slay me. Forgive not their iniquity, neither blot out their sin from thy sight. But let them be overthrown before thee. Deal thus with them in the time of thine anger." You know how easy it can be for us to get bitter when things don't go the way we would like them to, when the proud ensnare us and capture us. Doesn't the Bible say that we're supposed to pray for our enemies? We're supposed to love them that despitefully use us? That we're supposed to even hope that they can be saved? We ought to be careful of how we view these things. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 22, Solomon said, "Do they not err that devise evil? But mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good." Solomon said, "The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law." You understand that the devil is trying to get us. He's trying to ensnare us. And he uses these devices to keep us under his thumb, if you will, and to keep us in a spirit of depression, to keep us oppressed by wondering how long God's going to take to deliver us and to deal with these that are evil and that are wicked and that are against us. You understand that God cares. Remember what he said to Peter in Luke 22? "And the Lord said to Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee. Isn't that amazing? Aren't you glad we have an advocate? Aren't you glad we have someone that prays for us? That thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You know, David, he's kind of on a downswing here. As he's going through these psalms, he's writing these down. My soul fainteth, mine eyes fail, I've become like a bottle of smoke. How many are my days, and when wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. He's kind of showing his human side. And from time to time, that can be us as well, can't it? Well, let's look at the last verse tonight. The last verse for tonight. Verse 86. All thy commandments are faithful. Hey, something positive. Finally. In all of this, David makes a statement. All thy commandments are faithful. We need to see the silver lining in these things. If you continue to read in Jeremiah, God has to kind of prop him up from time to time because he gets extremely discouraged. And I don't blame him. Do you? He had it rough. And David, even from time to time, seems to be all that he says is discouragement, 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 discouragement. And I don't necessarily blame him. But aren't you glad that God's word is sure? And that we can know that God is faithful. He is. Even when it seems like he's not, he is. Even when it seems like there's nothing to look to, he's there. He says, all thy commandments are faithful. This hope in God, this knowledge of the faithfulness of God, is to lift us up in our difficult time, in our dark time. It's that thread that we can hang on to and say, God, this is pretty rough, but I know you're faithful. Your word is faithful. You're there for me. And God is there for us. Turn your Bibles over to Psalm chapter 7. Psalm chapter 7. You say, why are we going to all these psalms? Because we're studying the psalmist of these psalms. So how'd you like to know how David feels unless you go back and read what he wrote about his experiences? Now, there was a man, Cush the Benjamite, who at a point in David's life was against David and said some pretty terrible things about the king. Here's David's response to this. O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces, while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honor in the dust. Selah. Arise, O Lord. In thine anger, lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies, and awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. So shall the congregation of the people compass thee about. For their sakes, therefore, return thou on high. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, and according to mine integrity that is in me. O, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death, and ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity, and hath conceived mischief, and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit, and digged it, and is fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. David said, all thy commandments are faithful. Then he says, they persecute me wrongfully. Just a comment, just a statement. The evil, the wicked will persecute the righteous wrongfully. David said, hey, if I've done these things, God, then let him destroy me. But I haven't. And God, I'm asking you to fight for me. And I'm asking you because I am innocent in my cause. He says, help thou me. Help me, God. I haven't done these things. I need your help. This persecution is wrongful. It's unjust. It's in a manner contrary to the moral law. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12? Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil things against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 through 25, Peter said, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who for when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now are returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. You understand that sometimes in our lives, we are going to suffer for our wrongdoing. And that's just. That's great. That's okay. That's right. But sometimes we're going to suffer wrongfully. But God is faithful. We are going to be persecuted wrongfully. God will help us. We can rejoice in that suffering. Because listen, no matter how bad it gets, Jesus, our example, suffered more. And he did not deserve any of it. The thief on the cross, he even recognized that this man hath done nothing. And we deserve the judgment upon us. And you know what? That is true. God is our help in time of trouble. He is our buckler. He is our strong tower. He is our shield. He is our strength. He is our solace and our refuge. He will come to our aid in our time of need. But even if we get to suffer for a little bit, Peter said we should rejoice. That this suffering does have a purpose. And it's okay. Because God is faithful. One last passage of scripture. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Remember our frailty. We, like David, go through times of discouragement. We may wonder if God is going to judge those who persecute us. who dig pits for us, who wrongfully come against us. And yes, he will. He will deliver us out of our difficulties. But like the three Hebrew children, but if not, we're still going to serve God. We're still going to follow God because his commandments and his word is faithful. 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. If you go back to Psalm 119, I think that last passage of scripture sure helps accentuate what David says in verse 86. All thy commandments are faithful. So something I want you to take away from tonight is simply that God is faithful. God is just. He will judge. But it's in his time and according to his purpose that these take place. And we simply need to trust him. Trust him that he is faithful. And his word is faithful. And that he will help us. You know what? The Bible says we're supposed to come boldly before the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. To help in our time of need. He said, hey, all thy commandments are faithful. He said, hey, these things are against me. Help thou me. God is our help. And aren't you glad? I wouldn't want anybody else to come to my rescue, to my aid, to my help. I think God's the best choice. And David knew that. And he trusted in that. How are you doing? It's the wonderful word of God.